Good morning. Today's daf in Pesachim Lamed. We're on Chaf Tesamud Beis, and we're starting with the words Rabbi Yochanan. It's about six lines from the bottom of the Amud, and it is a third of three shitas that we saw in yesterday's daf. We only went through the first two yesterday, so we're going to go through the third. Just a couple of words of introduction before we start today's daf. Today's daf is really the culmination of 2 days of work. This is going to be day number three. If you want to look at it that way, the Mishnah Chaf Chesamud Aleph spoke about Chamesh al Nachri, She'avar alav Pesach. In other words, what we describe classically is Chamesh avar alav Pesach, Chametz that was around during Pesach, but now is in existence post Pesach. So the Mishnah says that if it belonged to a non-Jew, it's mutter. If it belonged to a Jew, so then it's going to be also. And then the Mishnah itself, quote, the pasuk of, you know, the Torah says lo yira lechasa, or you're not allowed to own Chametz, which presumably has nothing to do with after Pesach, because after Pesach there's no longer an issue of ownership. Okay, and so the Mishnah itself is really simple, straightforward. Although the pasuk that was cited at the end of the Mishnah is admittedly challenging, and the Gemara's discussion, which took us now through Chav Ches and Chav Tes, is basically authorship of the Mishnah. Who's the author of the Mishnah? And to quickly review and recap, we had three opinions amongst the Tanaim exactly when Chametz is going to be Aser. We had the Shitas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. To review, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that there's an Isser of Chametz pre, during, and post-Pesach. Now the pre-Pesach Isser of Chametz is from Chatzos of Erev Pesach until when Pesach actually begins. So for those six halachic hours, Chametz is going to be Aser min HaTorah. It's going to be alav to eat Chametz during that period of time. That is the pre. What about during? Obviously during. So Chametz becomes Aser. Chametz is Aser. It's Aser through a lav. It's Aser also through an Isser Karis as well on Pesach. It's Aser Ba'achila. It's Aser Ba'hanal. You're not allowed to own it. That is on Pesach. And what about after Pesach? The post-Pesach? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that too is a lav. Any Chametz that was around during Pesach, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, right, I'm going to ignore a good part of yesterday's daf, because then Gemara ended up rejecting it. Any Chametz that was owned by either Jew or non-Jew over the course of Pesach is now going to be, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Aser min HaTorah. That is going to be a lav to consume that Pesach. I'm sorry. It'll be a lav to consume that Chametz post-Pesach. That is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. If you want to just... It takes a while to really digest the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That means that according to Rabbi Yehuda, after Pesach, all Chametz is basically going to be new Chametz, meaning there simply cannot be any Chametz that lingered around after Pesach from during Pesach, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it does not make a difference whether the Chametz was owned by a Jew or by a non-Jew. And that means to say that any Chametz after Pesach is by definition going to be new Chametz, newly formed Chametz that was made only after Pesach. Okay. That is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Shitas Rabbi Shimon is that the only Isser of the Torah is going to be on Pesach itself, but before Pesach and after Pesach, there's no Isser. That is Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Now, when he says no Isser, to what degree does he mean no Isser? So as I pointed out, the Rishonim discussed that in detail, and we didn't go into any kind of depth on that particular topic. The Gemara's language, if you want to see it inside, in Chav Chesamad Beis, is that la'achar's mano eino of over alav below klum. Right, which the simple reading of the Gemara is that there's no violation whatsoever after Pesach according to Rabbi Shimon. Okay, that is Shitas Rabbi Shimon, so that the Isser Daraisa of Chametz is only on Pesach itself, but before Pesach and after Pesach, there's no Isser. However, according to Rabbi Shimon, the Chachamim imposed a Kenas. If a person were owning Chametz, let's say it clearer, if a Jew were owning Chametz on Pesach itself, so that is what's now... That Jew is in violation of Bayira Bayimatzeh, and so therefore, after Pesach, that Chametz, which was owned by a Jew during Pesach, is going to be prohibited. It's going to be Aser Ba'achila, it's going to be Aser Ba'anah, and that's Al Din Knas. That's because of the penalty, because that Jew violated the Isser of Bayira Bayimatzeh during Pesach. That's Shitas Rabbi Shimon. And finally, the Shitas Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili takes a position which is really a minority position, and that is Chametz on Pesach is Aser Ba'achila, but Mutar Ba'hana. Okay. What Rav Yossi Aglili feels regarding pre-Pesach and post-Pesach is not clear. The Gemara never clarifies that point. Okay. Those are the three positions of the Tanaim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yosef Galili. As far as our Mishnah is concerned, so we concluded yesterday that our Mishnah is following the position of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, who says that Chamish Avar Lava Pesach is going to be subject to an Isser Derabanan, a Knas, because the Jew who owned it violated by Rabbi Yamaseh, and that does a wonderful job explaining why the Mishnah, back on Chav Ches, quoted the Pasuk of Lo Yira Lecha Seor, meaning now we're going to say a wonderful Pshat in the Mishnah. Because the Chametz was owned by a Jew, and because that Jew during Pesach violated the Isser by Rabbi Yamaseh, that's Lo Yira Lecha Seor, so therefore as a result of that, after Pesach, that Chametz now is going to be Usser out a Knas. So that's a penalty that is going to prohibit that Chametz to both be consumed or to be gotten benefit from. Good. That is so far most of what we discussed in Chav Ches, Chav Tes. In a summary form, and I left out a lot of discussion, which the Gemara ended up rejecting. Then yesterday, at the end of yesterday's daf, the second half of the Amud Beis of yesterday took us to the topic of Tarovus. What happens if you have a mixture of Chametz and non-Chametz? And we discussed it both during Pesach and after Pesach. Now, obviously, it's going to make a difference whether we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. And so far on this topic, we've seen two opinions, and we're about to see a third opinion. First, let's review the positions of Rav and Shmuel. A reminder, if you want a crash course on Tarovus, so go back to yesterday's daf, where at the end of this year, before I started the sugya, so I gave a really concise crash course in Tarovus. So if you want to familiarize yourselves with the basic details, if you don't know them already. Anyway, Amar Rav, the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rav, the Chametz Bizmano, meaning during Pesach itself. So whether it's a Tarovus a Min B'Mino, or Min B'Sheino Mino, it's going to be Oser. Chametz is going to be Oser B'Mashehu during Pesach. Now, after Pesach is over, so if it's a Min B'Mino Tarovus, it's going to be Oser, but if it's a Min B'Sheino Mino Tarovus, it's going to be Mutter. That's the psak of Rav. The Gemara points out that this is Rav, first of all, in terms of his Pesach psak. So we have to understand that according to Rav, any Tarovus Amin Bimino is always going to be Oser B'mashehu. Right? Rav and Shmuel both happen to be of the opinion that B'chol Isurim Shebet Torah, that when dealing with any Isur of the Torah, if the mixture is Min Bimino, so it's Oser B'mashehu. So they pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda learns this halacha from the blood on Yom Kippur. It's a good amount of information, but not for now. Anyway, suffice to say right now that according to Rav, Min B'Mino Tarovus by Kol Yisrum Shabbat Torah is going to be Aser. So that, of course, means now that on Pesach, Min B'Mino is going to be Aser. That has nothing to do with Pesach. That just has to do with the fact that Chametz is an Iser like any of the other Yisrum in the Torah. What about Min B'Sheino Mino? So here Rav is obviously being Machmir. Rav is saying that on Pesach, Min B'Sheino Mino is also going to be Oser B'Mashu, and the reason why is, well, he doesn't say why, but presumably the reason why, that's not true. In the Gemara yesterday, so he said that Min B'Sheino Mino is going to be Oser, because Atu Min B'Mino. Because if we get comfortable with the idea of bittul as it relates to chametz in the case of min b'sheino mino, so then it'll lead to min b'mino. And presumably this gezeira is only by chametz on Pesach and not by other Yisurim. After Pesach, so Rabbi Yehuda is going to be machmer by min b'mino, but not by min b'sheino mino. Now, what's the distinction? What's the difference? So as we pointed out yesterday, according to Rav, so again, on Pesach, whenever discussing Min B'Mino, so again, Rav is L'shita so that it's always going to be an Isser Mashu, and by Min B'Sheino Mino, Rav normally subscribes to Bittul. However, on Pesach itself, he's going to be Machmir. Again, on Pesach, we'll discuss in just a moment why to be Machmir on Pesach as it relates to Chametz, but after Pesach, so what Rav is going to say is that Min B'Mino is going to be Aser, but Min B'Sheino Mino is going to be Mekel. Now, after Pesach, why is he going to be Mekel after Pesach? So, let's put the question this way. Why is he going to be Machmer after Pesach? So the Gemara said, because Rav Paschal is like Rabbi Yehuda, that the Chametz after Pesach is an Issa d'Oraisa, And so therefore it is now qualifies as a standard iser. Standard iser, min b'mino, you're going to be machmir. Min b'she'ino mino, he's going to be mekel. After Pesach, he's not going to make a gzera of min b'she'ino mino, atu min b'mino. As I pointed out yesterday, in of itself, that already is a lot of information. That's a lot to digest. I totally understand. That is the shita of Rav. Shmuel, on the other hand, Shmuel, who, by the way, agrees with Rav, that in general, when it comes to Kol Yisurim Shabbat Torah, a Tarovus of Min Bimino is going to be Oser B'mashu. Shmuel's of the position that Min Bimino on Pesach is going to be Oser. Min B'she'eino Mino, according to Shmuel, he will allow for Bittul to occur, meaning this is where Shmuel departs from Rav. As I pointed out yesterday, there are two points of separation of Rav and Shmuel. Even though they agree that Min Bimino is going to be Oser B'mashu, one point of separation that Shmuel disagrees with Rav in that, according to Shmuel, the Tarovus of Min B'sheino Mino, of Chametz and any other food on Pesach, as long as you have an amount for Bittul, so Shmuel will allow for Bittul by Min B'sheino Mino, meaning Shmuel's of the position that no Gzeira is to be made on Pesach of Min B'sheino Mino atu Min B'mino. And then after Pesach is concerned, so Shmuel says that any Tarovus is going to be Mutter, both Min B'mino and Min B'sheino Mino. Now that's strange. Why should that be? Why would Shmuel say that? So the Gemara explained, because Shmuel posits like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that Chametz after Pesach is not Aser Min HaTorah, but rather it's just a Kenas. And the Kenas was only legislated only when the Chametz is Be'en. But anytime the Chametz becomes a Tarovus, even a Min B'mino Tarovus, so Shmuel says we're going to be Mekel under those circumstances. Good. So those are the positions of Rav and Shmuel that we went over yesterday, and we just went over today. We are already at the 12-minute mark, and now it's a good amount. It's about time that we start the daf, but obviously there's a lot baked into today's daf, and the review was really just necessary. We are now going to be starting in the Gemara Rabbi Yochanan Amar. We are now introducing ourselves to the third opinion regarding Tarovis. Rav Yochanan Amar Chametz Bezmano Bein Bemino Bein Shlo Bemino Aser Ben Osein Tam. So Chametz during Pesach. So whether it's Min Bemino or whether it's Min B'Sheino Mino, so it's going to be Aser Ben Osein Tam. If the Chametz gives taste to that which it's mixed into, i.e. the amount of mixture is anything greater than 1 to 60, meaning once you have a ratio of 1 to 60, where the Iser is 1 and the Heter is 60, so then we assume that the taste has been negated. But once you have the ratio of 1 to 60, where now there would be Bittul under normal circumstances, according to Rav Yochanan, there would be Bittul here as well. Both Min Bimino, Min B'Sheino Mino. Now, as we pointed out yesterday, but let's reiterate today, in Min Bimino, there was never going to be Bittul Tam. Meaning, if the two foods that get mixed together taste the same, if our Chametz and non-Chametz taste the same, and as I pointed out yesterday, it's hard to imagine Chametz getting mixed in with another food that tastes the same and is not Chametz. So practically speaking, I'm admitting that it's hard to conceive of a scenario. But just at least in the concept, in the abstract, if I have Min Bimino, so truth of the matter is there will never be a negation of taste because the two foods taste the same. Nevertheless, the idea is that according to Rav Yochanan subscribes to the idea that there's always going to be Bittul, even in the case of Min Bimino. And so, according to Rav Yochanan, Chametz on Pesach is no different. Meaning, as long as the taste is negated, or at least if there was taste, it would be negated. That's Min Bimino. So then there would be an allowance of Bittul. Shelo Bizmano, now after Pesach, Min Bimino, Bishelo Bimino, Mutter. Now, whether the Tarovis is Bimino or Shelo Bimino, it's going to be Mutter. And the Gemara goes on to explain. Chametz Bezmano Ben Bemino Ben Shlo Bemino Ben Osein Tam Rav Yochanan Latamid Rav Yochanan Veshlakish Ami Tavayu Kol Iserim Shabbat Torah Ben Beminon Ben Shlo Bemino Ben Osein Tam Shlo Ben Osein Tam Kama. So the Gemara says that according to Rav Yochanan on Pesach itself he allows for Bittul because this is Rav Yochanan being consistent, meaning as opposed to Rav and Shmuel who throughout Isurim say that Min Bimino Tarovis is going to be Oser B'mashu, Rav Yochanan, together with Reish Lakish, says no, that when it comes to Isurim in general, a Min Bimin Tarovis, there will be Bittul, provided that the amount of Heter that you have is going to be enough to be Mevatel the Isur. How much is enough? The amount of Nesinas Tam. Now again, in Min Bimino, there is no Tam. But if we could forecast, if there would have been tam, how much would I need to be mevatel that tam? So the ratio is 1 to 60. So even in a min bemino scenario, so the halach is going to be that there would be bitul in a ratio of 1 to 60. Shelo bizmano, now we continue in the Gemara. What about after Pesach? Ben bemino, ben shelo bemino, mutarim k'Rabbi Shimon. The tarah, as long as there's a tarovus, it's going to be mutar, because Rav Yochanan, just like Reish Lakish, paskins like Rabbi Shimon, that that chametz after Pesach is mutar min haTorah, asur mid derabbanan. The asur derabbanan is only when it's be'en, not when it is in a tarovus. Adkan, that takes us now to the end of yesterday's daf and the presentation of the three opinions, Rav Shmuel, Rav Yochanan. Where is the halacha in all this? Obviously, there are a lot of opinions to take into consideration. Amar Rava. So that is what the Gemara now is going to be discussing on the top of Lamed. Today's daf, if I didn't properly introduce it, I already pointed out, it is the culmination of the Gemaras of Chav Ches and Chav Tes, also a lot of Halach Lamaisa. Now, I'm going to be going over the concepts, obviously, and the Gemara, obviously, but there's a lot of practical application that comes out from today's daf, and obviously the daf is not going to be a good forum to go over all the halacha lemaisa, but just as a highlight for today's daf, a lot of practical halacha is coming out from today's daf. Amar Rava, we're on the very top of Lamed Amar Aleph. Hilchos Chametz Bezmano Bein Bemino Bein Shelo Bemino Oser Oser Bemashehu Kerav. So Rava says that when it comes to chametz on Pesach, so a tarovus, whether it's min bemino, whether it's min b'shalom bemino, it's going to be aser b'mashu, we're paskening like Rav. Rava is paskening like Rav. Shalom b'zmano, now if it's after Pesach, ben bemino, ben shalom bemino, mutter, k'rebi Shimon. So after Pesach, so any tarovus of chametz, it's going to be mutter, because in this, Rava paskens like Rebbe Shimon. Meaning, and Rav didn't paskin like Rebbe Shimon, but Rava is basically taking a blended approach. Meaning, on Pesach itself, Rava's paskin like Rav. After Pesach, Rava's paskin like Shmuel and Rav Yochanan. Umiyam Rava Hachi. Now, the Gemara over here is bothered by the following Vahama Rava. Now, Rava didn't Rava make another point, which is Rebbe Shimon Kanasa Kanis Holvavra Lav Beval Yerava Yematze. Go back to yesterday's daf. Didn't we say in yesterday's daf that according to Rava, even though Rabbi Shimon says that Chamish after Pesach is not Asur min haTorah, but what about the Kenas, what about the penalty that we learned about in yesterday's daf? So I already gave away the answer, but the Gemara here now spells it out. Hani mili be'en. Yes, that's true. But that's only if the Chamish is be'en. The Chamish is in its non-mixed state. But once the chametz now goes into a tarovus, once it's in a mixture, lo, so then the knas de rabbanon, the rabbinic penalty is not going to be legislated under those circumstances. And vaz de rava latamid amar rava ki havina be Rav Nachman. Now Rava says, look, when we were by the yeshiva of Nachman, ki havanafke yeshiva yom de pescha, and Pesach would have come and gone, meaning now Pesach is over. Just an interesting aside, he's describing over here the 7 days of Pesach. The yeshiva of Nachman, so why are they holding by the 7 days of Pesach? Why not by the 8 days of Pesach? It's in Chos Haaretz. Okay, definitely a worthwhile endeavor to understand better. But anyway, let's just stay on point for today's daf. Amar Lan, so he said to us, Poko Zvino Chamire de Bnei Chela. You can go ahead and buy chametz from a non-Jew. Meaning, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. If we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, this is Rashi's point over here in understanding the Gemara. If we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, so whose chametz is going to be aser? Answer, everybody's chametz is going to be aser. Chametz of a Jew, chametz of a non-Jew. According to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, as we went over in yesterday's daf, and on Chav Ches, more in Chav Ches. According to Rabbi Yehuda, all chametz over Pesach is now aser after Pesach, with no discrimination of whether it was chametz of a Jew versus chametz of a non-Jew. All chametz is going to be aser. According to Rav Yehuda, you cannot go to your local store and pick up any chametz after Pesach if that store was owned by a non-Jew, because any chametz after Pesach is going to be aser. So the idea that Rav Nachman told everybody, hey, you can go to your local non-Jew and buy chametz immediately after Pesach, so that subscribes to the shita of Rabbi Shimon, not the shita of Rav Yehuda. Okay, so clearly, the Gemara's Pesach over here is like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, there is, we just went over the Gemara's over here regarding Tarovis, and Rava's conclusion regarding what is the halacha of Tarovas as it relates to Chametz on Pesach. As we read the Gemara, what the Gemara's clear conclusion seems to be is that on Pesach itself, any Tarovas of Chametz, whether it's min b'mino, whether it's min b'sheino mino, so it's going to be oser b'mashehu. Which is why, if you think about it, we get a little crazy before Pesach, making sure to eradicate every crumb of chametz. So why should that be? Because if you end up with any kind of tarovis, so it's going to be usher, as per the Gemara's conclusion over here. Now, after Pesach, so the Gemara's conclusion over here is that we're extraordinarily mekel. We're tremendously lenient in that chametz shavar alava Pesach, we pass like Rabbi Shimon, where it is a kenas, but the kenas is only when the chametz is be'en. Once the chametz is in any kind of tarovis, so then we're going to be mekel. Fine. That seems to be the Gemara's conclusion over here. Okay, you will notice a very long Tosfos over here. Rabbeinu Tam over here does not arrive at the conclusion that I just laid out. But the truth of the matter is Rabbeinu Tam is dealing with a different girsa in the Gemara. See Tosfos over here for a presentation of the position of Rabbeinu Tam, who does not conclude the way we just presented in the Gemara. In the meantime, however, there's an extraordinarily interesting Rashi over here. Rashi does something that he normally does not do throughout Shas, and that is he paskins the halacha. Rashi, when writing a commentary to the Gemara, so there are occasions where you're going to find psak of Rashi. But most of the vast majority of the time, Rashi is not offering a psak. Rashi is just simply helping us understand the Gemara. And Rashi does have tshuvas, and we do have tshuvas of Rashi, but as far as his parish is concerned, so his primary goal is to gain understanding and not to paskin. But Rashi over here, top Rashi on Laman Amar Aleph, he writes, Amar Rav Eilchasa, Shema Minah de Pasuk Rav Eilchasa de Chol Yisurim Shebator Beminam Bemashu Velo Shanilan Bein Chametz Lashar Yisurin Ela Baham Milsa De Gazer Shlo Beina Natu Minam Shemina Minah. So Rashi says, look what we just saw together in the Gemara. We just saw together that we paskin like Rav regarding Min Bemino. Now on Pesach itself, so a special chumrah that on Pesach, on Chametz and Pesach, so we're going to be machmir that not only is Min Bemino going to be Oser B'mashu, but even Min B'sheino Mino is going to be Oser B'mashu, and that's not true by any other Isser. Fine. But Rashi says, but by Min Bemino we paskin like Rav. So if Rav is telling us that's the halacha, so Rashi says, you know what that means? That means halacha is that Min Bemino it's going to be Oser B'mashu. Rashi goes on to say, Shamina Mina, so here now is the halacha. Now, I'm sure in my earlier years I made a mistake in reading this Rashi. I bet you I did. But anyway, Rashi now describes what happens now if Chalev, not Chalev, but Shamina Mina, third line of Rashi, Shamina Mina, Chalev Shanafala Kedera. So if I have Chalev that falls into a pot, meaning a pot of meat, Chalev obviously is Asur. The Rashi over here is assuming that Chalev and meat is a min bimino. They basically taste the same. It's schmaltz, it's meat, it's the basic. It's the basic food group, same food group, same taste group. Rashi clearly calls this the case of min bimino, oser b'mashehu. So Rashi says that how much is that going to, what kind of isser is that going to be? It's going to be an isser, any amount of chalev now going into the pot. V'chein halacha, and that's the halacha. V'hayde kamelon kol yisurin shebetor b'shishim b'shalom b'minanhu. Now Rashi says, yes, we do hold that there's bitol of echa b'shishim, but that's only when it's min b'shein omino. Rashi over here, and Rashi a couple places in Shas, but right here in Pesachim, Daf Lamed, Rashi paskins like Rav, and Rashi seems to have a really good source for that, in that the Gemara over here, Rava paskins like Rav. Now again, I just want to make this as clear as possible. On Pesach, so we have an additional Chumra, meaning not only is Rava paskins like Rav, but on top of that also, on because of Chametz on Pesach, because Chametz is more Chamor, we'll explain why in a moment. So therefore, not only is min b'mino tarovus and chametz on Pesach going to be oser b'mashu, but even min b'sheino mino. Good. But Rashi says, but the foundation of that psak is predicated on the fact that we do paskin like Rav, that min b'mino is going to be oser b'mashu. That's Rashi's conclusion over here. Many Rishonim disagree with Rashi. Many Rishonim are of the position that a min b'mino is not going to be oser b'mashu, meaning we know it to be a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel, say min b'mino is oser b'mashu, versus Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, min b'mino is oser, but only b'no same tam. And many Rishonim, most of the Rishonim, do not pasken like Rashi, but rather pasken that by Kol Yisrim Shebetorah, a min bemino is going to be bito when you have ratio of Echad B'Shishim 1 to 60. That is the viewpoint of many of the Rishonim. It's the viewpoint of the Shulchan Aruch as well. So, but an interesting moment here in the Gemara where you see a clear psak by Rashi. Why, according to Rava, and Rashi passes this way, why according to Rava, if you have an chametz on Pesach, not only are we going to be machmer by min b'mino, but we're going to be machmer by min b'sheino mino as well? So one could say this in one of two ways. Number one is that chametz on Pesach is just simply more chamor. It's a more chamor iser. The more chamor iser could be presented in many ways. Number one, it's also b'achila and it's also b'ana, and there's a chi of kares, and there's also an iser of vayira b'yamatzei. So basically, the chomer ha'iser, the chomer iser of chametz on Pesach. So we're going to be more machmer when it comes to tarovis than we are going to be by any of the other isurim of the Torah. So that's one way to express it. Another way to express it, a really interesting way to express it, is the way the Rambam expresses it, which is that the reason why we're going to be more chomer when it relates to chametz on Pesach, where it's going to be oster b'mashihu, whether it's min b'mino, whether it's min b'sheino mino, is because chametz falls under the category of a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Davar sheyesh lo matirin, the idea is that if after Pesach it's going to become mutter, or let's just discuss it more in the basic, in the abstract. Any time that you have an iser which is temporary, and it gets mixed into something, and it gets mixed into heter, but the iser is going to be lifted after some time, so rather than rely on bittul, so then just wait until everything becomes mutter and then enjoy it afterwards. We're going to see this idea of Masechta Beitza in the beginning of the Masechta, this idea of Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, Daf Dal, if I remember correctly. Anyway, this idea of Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. And because rather rely on bittul, wait until it becomes mutter, so when you have a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, there never will be bittul while it's asur. And even if it's a mashu, there's not going to be bittul. So the Rambam's of the position that Chametz on Pesach falls under the category of a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Now that's a little bit difficult to understand because after Pesach, so the chametz is still going to be aser al tzakanas, although we just learned in the Gemara that's not when it's in a tarovis, that's only when it's be'en. So that problem is not such a significant problem. But the other point is that davar sheyesh lo matirin generally means it's aser, but it will become mutter, and that's it. When it comes to chametz on Pesach, it's aser, it's going to become mutter, but if we just wait another 300 and some odd days, it's going to become aser again, meaning the iser keeps revolving with every year that Pesach rolls around. So it's not a classic davar sheyesh lo matirin. Anyway, so there are two possible reasons why it is that by chametz on Pesach, we're going to be machmer vis-a-vis a tarovis, and it's going to be an oser b'mashu, is number one because of the Chomer Isser, or because it's a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Okay, that affords us now the opportunity to continue in the Gemara. We're in Lamed Amud Aleph, and we're at the two dots, Amarav. And as I pointed out, the remainder of today's daf is going to be a lot of Halach Lamaisa. Again, we're just going to understand it from the basics of the Gemara in terms of putting all this into practice. So you need a lot more. You need to go through the Rishonim, the Shulchan Aruch, you need a Rav, you need a lot more. But in the very least, however, we're going to familiarize ourselves with the basics of the Gemara. Amar Rav Kederes B'Pesach Yishaberu. So Rav says that when you use the pot, presumably he's talking about an earthenware pot, so when you use the pot in Pesach, so what you must do with it is you must break it after Pesach is over. The Amai, the Gemara says, I don't understand it. Lishinu Achara Pesach V'Lavra B'Hu Shelo B'Minam. So the Gemara says, why don't we just simply wait after Pesach and use it Shelo B'Minan. So the Gemara says, Gzera Dilma Asalameva Bimino. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if we do that, so if we end up using it Bishaino Mino, we're going to end up using it Bimino. Now, there is a lot that went into this Pesach of Rav over here, that all earthenware dishes you have to break after Pesach. What is all that predicated on? So you take a look at Rashi right over here. Rashi, right along where we are in the Gemara, Amarav Kederes Pesach Yishabero, Rav Latame. So the Rashi says the Rav here has been consistent. Damecham Mitzaf La'achas Manu Asar Ba'anak, Rav Yehuda. So remember, where did Rav stand in terms of chametz after Pesach? So he passed like Rav Yehuda, right? That goes back to yesterday's daf. We reviewed that in the beginning of this morning's shir. The islay b'mashihu. Now that's an isur daraisa. Now also remember that Rav also says min b'mino when it comes to any Isser of the Torah, is going to be Mashihu. Chametz after Pesach, according to Rav, is an Isser of the Torah, therefore it's going to be also be Mashihu. The Kasavar Nosin Tamlev Gam Aser. Rashi also points out, what about the fact that the taste is embedded within the walls of the pot? What about the idea that we've said many times throughout Shas, that when you have just the taste embedded in the walls of the pot, Min HaTorah, so that taste has a shelf life of only 24 hours. After 24 hours, so we say, no sin tam levgam. So Rashi points out over here, Rav's of the position, that no sin tam levgam is going to be usur. So which, as Rashi is about to point out, so there are a lot of positions that Rav has to maintain in order to maintain this psak, that you have to break the earthenware after Pesach. Now again, going back to the Gemara, you now understand the back and forth in the Gemara. The Gemara said, well, after Pesach, why don't we just use it for Eino Mino? Meaning, after Pesach is over, so there would be Bittul for Eino Mino, which, to tell you the truth, by the way, if you think about the Gemara suggestion, that's a little bit strange. Because generally speaking, even though there is Bittul by Min B'Sheino Mino, but are we going to be encouraging people to do Bittul? Don't we normally subscribe to the opinion of Ein Mevat L'Nisa L'Chatchila? So good. It's a wonderful question. I'm not the originator of that question. We're going to put that question on the shelf, put it aside, and we're not going to come back to it. It's a good question to ask over here. Anyway, let's go back to the Rashi. Rashi points out over here, V'lei Silchus HaKavase Mitrei Tame. So again, by the way, Rashi here is paskening halacha. All right, today's daf is a really unusual daf in terms of Rashi, where Rashi is really out of character. But anyway, we don't paskin for two reasons, says Rashi. So first of all, we passing like Rabbi Shimon, which means that any Tarov is after Pesach is going to be mutter, right? That's what we concluded. Shmuel said it, Rav Yochanan said it, Rav Paskin that way. Good, so that's number one. And number two, Vahai Pachus mitarovisu, and this isn't even a Tarovis, we're talking about a taste embedded within the walls of the earthenware pot. So it's not even a tarovis. And Rashi goes on, Va'udekai melan nosin tam levgam mutter, v'zeh mishavar olav yamei Pesach, hufag tamo midofnei hakli. And on top of that, we paskin that nosin tam levgam is going to be mutter, not aser. And so therefore, after 24 hours, the taste, chametz taste that was embedded within the walls of the earthenware pot is going to be a tam pagum. And therefore, it's going to be mutter. Again, by the way, within this Rashi, it's difficult to understand because even though we say nosin tam levgam is mutter, but that does not mean that lichatchila we can rely on the principle of nosin tam levgam mutter. Meaning, what do we normally say? Even after 24 hours, we kasher the pots. We don't rely on nosin tam levgam mutter, even though that is in fact the halacha, but not lichatchila, only b'di'evin. If post facto you cooked in that pot afterwards, so then we're going to say that the food is not treif. The food is kasher. But to rely on that lechatchila is very difficult. Rashi over here seems to be saying that. Okay, so we're scratching the surface today. We're not, you know, we're simply not covering all the issues that need to be covered. But at least we have we're getting a basic understanding. That's all the psak according to Rav. Back to the Gemara. Shmuel Amar lo yishabera v'amashulu lachas mano v'avet v'hu bein b'mino shem bein shelo b'mino. Shmuel says, you don't have to break the earthenware pots. Here's what you could do. All your earthenware pots, you just simply let them linger for a little bit of time, right? Let's say 24 hours. And then you could use them afterwards. And whether it's min b'mino, min b'shino, min, it doesn't matter. Now the Gemara points out, Azdo Shmuel atame damar Shmuel lehanu de mezavne kande. So now this is Shmuel being consistent with a position that he took, a public position that he took. He told the merchants who were selling the, I'm not pronouncing it correctly, but okay. So the Mizavne Kande, they're selling these Kande, they're earthenware pots. It was post-Pesach. And Ashvu Zvinu Akanidi. So he's basically telling the Mochrim, look, don't you dare price gouge. Meaning, what the public are doing is that they broke all their earthenware pots immediately after Pesach, and now there's going to be a total run on the market. Everybody's running to buy. So the demand is going to be high. It'll give the mochrim an opportunity to raise the price. So Shmuel's telling the mochrim, don't do that. And we get this every now and then. You get to see this every now and then where generally speaking, it's a free market. But if there is any kind of abuse that takes place within the market, So the Chachamim step in order to protect the buyer. So here you have a wonderful example of that. V'ilo, now, Shmuel says to the merchants, now if you don't do that, Doshina Lechu ke Rebbe Shimon. So he says, look, I'm going to publicly tell everybody the halacha falls like Rebbe Shimon, and according to Rebbe Shimon, there was no need for them to break their pots, and so therefore, so you price gouge, I'm going to publicly tell everybody that the halacha falls like Rebbe Shimon, and you will not be having this kind of selling opportunity. So the Gemara says, the story is so strange, religious lehudaha, Shmuel ke Rebbe Shimon Svirlehi. So the Gemara says, that's a funny threat. I'm going to pass him like Rabbi Shimon. He does pass him like Rabbi Shimon. Why is he threatening that he's going to pass him like Rabbi Shimon? Why doesn't he actually pass him like Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara's explanation is that we didn't get the full context of the story, and here's the full context of the story. Asrei deRav Hava. The full context of the story is that this was in the community of Rav. So in other words, under normal circumstances, he wouldn't dare pass him like Rabbi Shimon. Rav Paslins like Rav Yehuda, Chametz after Pesach is Aser min HaTorah, therefore the earthenware jugs have to be broken, as we just concluded, according to Rav. Shmuel in the community of Rav would not paskin Keneged Rav, he wouldn't go against the Marda Asra. However, if there was price gouging, so then that would be considered an extenuating circumstance, where then he would tell everybody, the halacha does not fall like Rav Yehuda, but rather like Rabbi Shimon, even though he would be going against the Marda Asra, but he would do so in terms of protecting the buyer, and under those circumstances, he would do so. Or an alternative way to say it is that he wouldn't do that, but at least it would be enough that he could threaten the mochrim that he would do that. Maybe it's just in terms of a threat, but not that he would actually paskin against the Marda Asra. Okay. Anyway, that is all. Rav and Shmuel breaking the earthenware pots that were used up for Pesach. Rav says you have to break it. Shmuel says you don't have to break it. And again, each one being consistent with their position. Rav passing like Rav Yehuda, that chametz after Pesach is an issa d'oraisa. Shmuel like Rabbi Shimon, it's only a kenas d'rabbanan, and the kenas d'rabbanan does not include the tam that's embedded within the walls of the pot. Okay, continuing in the Gemara, ha'tanar d'tachle ticha. Asra Rava Bar Ahilai Lamechle Lirifta Afila Bemilcha Laolam. So the Gemara over here gives a psak. This is not related to Pesach, but it is a psak in terms of Issa V'Heter. Let's say you have an oven, and the oven was smeared with the fat of an animal. Fat was permissible, but in other words, it's meat. It's the shmatz of an animal. And now when you bake bread in that oven, so the bread now is going to be absorbing that meat taste of the that was lining the inside of the oven, and that bread now is going to be aser dilma aser lemechle bekutcha, because now you're going to take that fleshic bread and you may come and eat it with milk, and that's going to be a significant problem. Meisve, the Gemara says, now wait one second, let's quote the Braisa, and we're going to see the Braisa two times here in Psachim, once here and once on Lamed Vav. And that is that bread, the Chachamim legislated, it must be parv. So, ein lash nesayisa b'chalav, im lash kolapas kolasura. If you put milk into the batter, into the dough, and you make milchik bread, so that bread is going to be asur midrabbanim, imne hergol aveira. Because of hergol aveira, because people are so used to the idea that bread is a parv item, so therefore the Chachamim legislated that bread has to be a parv item, and if you were to make it either milchik or fleshik, so then that bread is going to be asur midrabbanim. Kayote bo, similarly, as now we turn to the Amud Beis. So, ein tashin is a toner ba'alya. You cannot line the inside of an oven with the fat of an animal, literally the tail, but it's talking about the fat of an animal. Now, if you do so and you bake bread in the oven, so that bread now is going to absorb the fleshik, and that bread now is going to be asur because that's fleshik bread. Ad shiyasik is a toner. What you can do, however, is you can fire up the oven and thereby expunge the fleshic taste of the oven, and now you can bake bread in that oven. Now, the obvious question over here is as follows. In the psak that was given on the bottom of the previous amud, so we said that asur, I'm rereading the fourth line from the bottom. So fifth line from the bottom. Asur, Rava bar Eli lemichle lerifta, afilo b'melcha, you can't eat bread even by itself, even with just salt, li'olam. And you can't eat it forever, meaning that the oven is going to be asur forever. And meanwhile, we said over here is that all you need to do is just fire up the oven and you're good to go. So the Gemara says, and the Gemara makes exactly that point. Ha-hu-saka tanor mi-ashare. So I understand that while the fat is in the oven and you're baking bread in that oven together with the fat of the animal, so then that's fleishik bread and that's going to be aser. But the braisa we just quoted says really clearly that once you burn the oven, so you're basically burning out the fat of the oven, and then you could use that oven to bake bread in it. So the Gemara says tiyufta derava bar ilah tiyufta. So the Gemara says enachinami, you're absolutely right, meaning correct. Once you heat up the oven by itself, burn out the fat of the oven. So then you can go ahead and you can make bread in that oven. That bread obviously is going to be viewed as par bread. So the Gemara says, now I don't understand. We just learned together that you can kosher an oven. An oven is earthenware, and we just learned that you can kosher it. And now I don't understand. Let's go back to Rav Psak. Rav said that the earthenware jugs and pots have to be broken after Pesach. Hey, I got a wonderful idea. Why don't we kosher them just like we concluded that you can kosher the oven? So Amalei. So the Gemara says there are two ways to distinguish between an oven and a pot. Ha'asam tanu shamatechas ha'chabegder shalcheres. So one way is to simply say that we walked in assuming that the oven was earthenware. The Gemara says that's not true. The oven that's under discussion is metal, and metal is kosherable. And the pots that Rav was talking about was earthenware. So that's one way to make a distinction. Ebay, same with the Gemara says, or we could do it this way, which is Hava Habashal Cheres. No, the earthenware oven is Cheres. Okay, that was redundant, but okay, you understand. And the pots also are earthenware as well. And Zeh Sekem Bifnim, Zeh Sekem Bechutz. And the Gemara says, and look, in terms of koshering, the koshering of the oven is a valid koshering, because where are you putting the fire source? In the oven itself. And so therefore it's koshering internally, so that's a good koshering of the oven. But when it comes to the pots, you're koshering it externally, meaning you're putting the fire on the outside. So the Gemara says, okay, so I got this great idea. So by the earthenware pot, you're telling me that the only proper koshering is by putting the coals inside. So I got this great idea. Put the coals inside. So the Gemara says, no. So the Gemara says, no. Because when it comes to the oven, we know that the oven can handle that kind of heat. So we will not be inhibited at all. We will have no fear whatsoever koshering the oven, because we know that the oven can handle that heat. But when it comes to the Kli Cheres, we are going to be afraid. We do not know that if it can it can handle that kind of internal heat. And so therefore, because people are going to be hesitant in doing so therefore the Chachamim legislated that you're not allowed to kosher it, because even if you try, people are not going to do it properly. So the Gemara says, okay, and now when dealing with the Buchya, Rashi describes it as tiles. Okay, some sort of frying pan, frying grill. Okay, anyway, it's made out of earthenware, right? That's the important point. The Ibuchi Isekame Bechutsu Vaasar. So it happens to be that the heat over there is generated externally, not internally, and so therefore, if it becomes Asr, so there's no way to kosher it. It's not like an oven. The Amalia Gourmet Shapardami. Now, if you do fill it with coals, so then it's going to be okay. It's going to be acceptable. Meaning, if the way that it's used is that the coals are generally put on the inside, so then it's going to be treated like an oven, and therefore it is kosherable. Amalei Ravina LeRavashi Hani Sakina BePischa Hechi Avdina Lehu. So the Gemara says, now we want to kosher a knife. So for Pesach. So how do we do that? So Amalei LeDidi Chadata KaAvdinan. So first, Ravashi says to Ravina, I get new knives for Pesach. Now for us, right, we live in a world of plenty and maybe you can even say excess. Not maybe. But so for us, it's like, of course we have different kalim for Pesach. But anyway, so the Gemara over here says, I'm a lay. So Ravina says back to Ravashi. So Tenech Mar Defsherle. He says, you're in a position where you can get new kalim for Pesach. But the law of Shalei Mai. But for the rest of us, however, who can't get new kalim for Pesach, what do we do? So Amalei Ana Kein Chalta Kamina. So Ravina says back to Ravashi. So I'm sorry, Ravashi says back to Ravina. No, you don't understand. I'm sorry I gave off the impression that I get new. I don't get new. What I do is that I basically make my kalim like new, in that I kasher them. And I kasher them through libum. How exactly do I do it? So katayo betina. So what I do is I take the handle and I put the handle on some sort of clay, some sort of mud, basically to protect the handle. And then uparzala benura. And now what we're going to do with the metal blade is that we're going to put it under fire. In other words, that's what's called libun. Vahadar ma'ilin lekatayu berotchin. And now what we're going to do is that the handle itself, that we're going to put that in boiling water, in order to kasher the handle. So in other words, the blade itself is metal, libun, the handle, which presumably is made out of wood, so that's going to go into boiling water. The Gemara points out, however, that as far as halacha is regarding knives, the kashering of knives, even though we just saw that the practice of Rav Ashi was to do libun, the Gemara says that's unnecessary. All you need to do is hagala, put it into boiling water. It has to be a kli rishon. It has to be that the boiling water has to be over the fire. In Shabbos, I don't want to get too involved. In Shabbos, kli rishon may not necessarily be while it's on the fire. But for our purposes right now, for kashering, let's assume that the water has to be directly over the fire. And and under those circumstances, that's how you kasher a knife. A wooden spoon, so also Haggalah could be done with it in a Kli Rishon, the way that the taste went in, meaning we assume that the taste goes in via Kli Rishon, so therefore it's expunged via Kli Rishon. The Gemara here in Pesachim, Daf Lamed, gives us a very basic rule regarding kashering, Kabbalah Kach Palto. The way the taste gets absorbed is the way the taste is going to be expunged. They asked the following question from Amemar. So can I use now the earthenware jars, jugs? Am I allowed to use them on Pesach? Now, Kunya over here, Rashi points out that they're earthenware and they have a glaze of lead on top of it. And basically the question becomes the following. We know that if something is metal, so it's kasherable. We know something is earthenware. It's not kasherable. And so over here, when I have earthenware with a metal glazing, so what is going to be the status? Is that metal glazing going to basically convert this kli into a metal kli? That's our question. And the Gemara says, well, it depends on what kind of glazing we're talking about. So, Yeroka loti ba'ilach devad asiri. So the Gemara says, if the glazing is green, right? Yeroka is some shade of either yellow or green, so then it's going to be asir. Meaning that is a metal that is extraordinarily porous and allows for the taste to go through the glazing, to go into the earthenware, and then it becomes non-kasherable. Kitibai lachuchme v'chivre, the Gemara says, what if it's black, what if it's white? So mai v'hechadi isbahu, kartufne lo tibai lach tevade asire. Now, if the glaze over here is not a smooth glaze, and you see clearly that there are cracks, obviously that allows the taste to go into the earthenware, and then obviously it's not kasherable. Kitibai lach deshi'i mai. We're talking about where the glazing is extraordinarily smooth, and under those circumstances, are we going to say that now the glazing is going to make this a metal kli, and therefore it's kasherable? Amalei chazina luhu de mi daisi ama believe asiri. So he says, well, look, I'm going to give you an empirical answer, and that is take a look at it. And as you see, as you're cooking in the kli, you can actually see whatever you're cooking inside basically pours through it through the porous material, actually exits to the outside, and you can actually see the pot, so to say, sweating, and you see that there is some transfer of taste that is going through the walls of the kli, and basically now we're saying that the earthenware now has collected some of the taste. And again, when it comes to earthenware, it's simply not kasherable. The Torah ahidah kli cheres shein yotzei midei dofyo la'olam. Kli cheres, the taste goes in, and the taste can never come out. So when it comes to kli cheres, therefore, it is simply a non-kasherable item. And even with the glazing over here, it still becomes a non-kasherable item. So umayshna le'inyan yayin esach, the darsh mereimar. Now the Gemara says, now what about yayin esach? Meaning, let's take a look at the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara here quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Mani Dekunya Bein Uchma Bein Chiver Bein Yeroka Sharei, that when I have these earthenware jars, jugs, that are glazed with lead, and here it doesn't matter whether it is green or black or white, meaning whichever kind of metal we're using as a glazing. So you can go ahead, even though it was previously used for Yayin Nesach over here, probably means Stam Yenam, wine of a non-Jew, which is Aser Midrabanan. But what we can go ahead is that we can basically pour out the Stam Yenam, right? Just wipe down the interior and use it for kosher wine. And that's the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. What's the difference between over there and over here? V'chitem Yayin Nesach Derabanan Chametz Daraisa. And you want to tell me, well, there, it's not Isser Torah that we're dealing with over there. It's Stam Yenam. They didn't actually use the wine for idolatry. That's just the basic rabbinic ban against wine of a non-Jew, what we call Stam Yenam. So maybe you want to tell me that that's an Isser Derabanan, and over here it's an Isser Daraisa. So the Gemara says, no, called the Takan Rabbanan Kein Daraisa Takan. No, if the Chachamim are going to legislate on a Din Darabanan, they're going to pattern themselves after the Din Daraisa. So Amalei Zeh Tashmishu Ayidei Chamim, Zeh Tashmishu Ayidei Tzonein. So the Gemara says, okay, good. So I'll tell you the difference. The difference is that the yain over there, so obviously that's cold. Meaning the barrels over there, the earthenware barrels that were glazed with metal, so it was holding cold liquid. So therefore, there's no absorption. Over here, we're talking about pots and pans that are used for chametz, where we're cooking chametz in it. So that's the big difference. So one is tashmisha ayidei tzon, and the other one's tashmisha ayidei chamen. That's the basic difference. Amar Rava, finishing up to the Mishnah. Amar Rava bar Rava, Amar Rav Chia bar Ashi. Amar Shmuel kol hakem shnei shamshu behem chametz betzonein, mishamsh behem matzah, chutz min beis or hol shechimutz kasha. So, try sharing this one at home. You have any bread basket where it was only used betzonein, it was only used for cold, meaning I wasn't cooking in it. It was just a bread basket holding the bread in year round. So what you could do is you could wipe it down and use it on Pesach for matzah. The only exception is if it was during the year round, it was holding se'or. Now se'or is like a sourdough, and it has a strong taste to it. Right, it's a lot stronger, right? Whatever, it's more intense fermentation. Anyway, that's going to impart a taste even ayidei tzonein. And so that bread basket you're not allowed to use for matzah on Pesach, but your general bread basket you could use for matzah on Pesach. Just wipe it down. Amar Avashi ubeis charoses ke beis or shchimutzo kasha dame. Now the beis charoses, okay, basically. It was a utensil that was used for vinegar. And on top of that, there was also wheat stored in it as well. But again, what happened is that even though it's cold, but the vinegar gives a certain pungency to the taste, where the taste now, even ayidei tzonein, is going to be imparted into it, and that's going to be aser. That's like, it's like sourdough. So Amar Rav Ashi, I read it, but I'm just going to read it again. Beis charoses ke beis or shechimutzo kasha dami. Amar Rav Ahani agnei de mechuzei. The Gemara now gives us one more psak. And that is when I have the bowls that are used in the town of Mechuzah, hol v'tadir lemilosh b'hu chamirei, umashu chamirei kebeis or shechimutzo kasha dame. So the Gemara says, well, what they do is that in the bowls, so they use it for chametz, but they also use it for vinegar as well. And so therefore, even ayidei tzonein, it's going to impart a taste. And therefore, you cannot use it on Pesach. Pshita. Now the Gemara says, now that kind of fits into what everything we just said. So ma'od etema came to revichei shalabu avir v'lo bal'i kamash malan. I might have thought that these particular bowls are large, airy, and I might have thought that that there is not going to be a transfer of taste from the vinegar wheat into the bowls because it's just large in area. That's a havamina. And the chiddush is no. Even over there, there's going to be a transfer of taste. Okay, adkan. Let's review. Our morning, we started off with the three shitas of Rav Shmuel and Rav Yochanan vis-a-vis tarovis of chametz on Pesach, min bimino, min b'sheino mino. After Pesach, min bimino, min b'sheino mino. And then on the top of Laman Amin Aleph, Rav gives a psak. Rav says that when it comes to chametz on Pesach, so any tarovis, whether it's min bimino, whether it's min b'sheino mino, it's going to be usur b'mashehu. After Pesach, any tarovis, min bimino, min b'sheino mino, it's going to be mutter. So on Pesach itself, so he's going to be machmir. Now, presumably he's being machmir because he's pasking like Rav. That was Rashi's opinion. We went through Rashi inside this morning. And the cautionary note is that many Rishonim do not agree with Rashi's Pesach. Neither Shulchan Aruch also does not agree with Rashi's psak. But anyway, but certainly Rava says that chametz on Pesach, this we could say pretty unequivocally, even though, as I mentioned earlier, Tosfos also does not agree with this conclusion, but pretty unequivocally we could say that chametz on Pesach is going to be aser b'mashu, whether it's min b'mino, whether it's min b'sheino mino, and after Pesach it's going to be mutter anytime it's part of a tarovus, because the knas de rabbanan of chamisha avar olav Pesach is only be'en, not through a tarovus. What about the earthenware pots that we use over Pesach? Rav says they must be broken. Shmuel says they're not to be broken. And we discussed all the factors that go into Rav's psak, all the factors that go into Shmuel's psak. We continued in the Gemara. We talked about an oven where it was lined with the fat of an animal, and then we baked bread in that oven. So according to Rava Bar Ahila, you may never bake bread in that oven, meaning that that oven is simply not kasherable. And the Gemara points out that the Braisa does not say that. The Braisa says that if I bake bread in the oven that currently has a schmaltz in it, that's fleishik bread, that's also midirabanan, and we're going to explain that better a little bit later on in terms of the gzera derabanan of not eating fleishik bread and milchik bread. But an oven is kasherable. And on this topic of an oven being kasherable, what about the fact that Rav demanded that the earthenware pots have to be broken after Pesach? So as we pointed out, a couple ways to distinguish. One, the oven we're discussing is not earthenware, but rather it's metal. Or two, the oven is earthenware, but it's kasherable because we're going to take the coals and we're going to put it in the oven, which is what we typically do. But when it comes to a pot, we don't normally put the heat source in the interior of the pot. And that's the difference between an earthenware pot and an earthenware oven. Why don't we just simply take the coals and put it in the pot to kasher it? The Gemara says, since that's not what we typically do, the Chachamim were concerned that we are going to be extraordinarily hesitant, cautious about putting the coals in the pot, and we're not going to kasher it, we're not going to do Liban correctly. We talked about kashering knives for Pesach. The position of Rav Ashi is that it has to be kashered al yidei Liban, but the Gemara's conclusion is that you only need to kasher it with Hagalah. Wooden spoons, Hagalah. Earthenware that's glazed with lead, that was the next topic of discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara says that it is going to have the status of earthenware, and therefore it is not kasherable. The Gemara points out that the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says that when I have my earthenware glazed with lead, even though it was used for Stam Yenam, I could dump it in and use it for storage for kosher wine. But the Gemara says, yeah, but that's sonein. And the last halacha that we discussed this morning was vis-a-vis and any kli that was used b'tzonein over the course of the year. You had a bread basket that was used year-round for bread, but it was only used for cold. So then what you could do is you could wipe it down and use it for matzah on Pesach, with notable exception to soor, the sourdough, where because it has a more acidic taste to it, so therefore it's going to impart flavor into the bread basket, afilo al yedei tzonein, even if it's done through cold. Adkan, tomorrow obviously we start with the Mishnah.